This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast. I'm coming to you after a really good road win for the Baylor Bears. They went to Morgantown, West Virginia, and they come away with an 85-73 victory over the Mountaineers. Baylor built a 46-31 halftime lead. There was a little bit of drama late in the game with a massive flurry of turnovers, including maybe five or by King McClure. King McClure racked them up late, and so did Mekhi Mason. Butler got in the act as well. But just a terrific win. Mekhi Mason was huge, 29 points. He was composed most of the game, did a good job distributing the ball. And then Mario Kegler, what a game for Mario Kegler to break out. 18 points, 7 rebounds, had a steal, played really, really well. And 5 for 5 from the free throw line. Big free throws down the stretch. Grayson, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Baylor played really well, as you mentioned. And the biggest stat of the game was, I think when the second half had just started, maybe early in the second half, Baylor only had one turnover the whole game. Now, that changed a whole lot as the game moved on. I think they ended up with 16 second-half turnovers. But for the most part, that whole first half, Baylor was able to dictate the tempo of the game. They played under control. They hit a lot of big shots. And so it just seems like Baylor was just going to be on cruise control the whole way. And it was great to see them come out with that kind of focus and that kind of just calm and ease about their game. Now, things obviously changed later in the game, and West Virginia kind of got into Baylor's head a little bit as far as turnovers go. But for the most part, I was very impressed with the ability to, kind of go on the road and just play with such an ease and calm about the game. And I think it all starts with Mekhi Mason. I think that his steady hand as far as just scoring the basketball, putting the ball in the basket, making tough shots, really put the team at ease. And he was sensational. I mean, he was making some really, really tough shots. And making them look really easy, too. And I know he came up a little hobbled late in the game after he made it a jump shot, so hopefully he's okay moving forward. But he had his best game as a Baylor Bear and was really, really impressive. And I think he is probably the biggest reason why the Bears were able to come away with this win.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, Jermaine Haley had a really good game against Kansas, hit the game-winning shot, was coming into the game with a lot of confidence. 6'7" point guard, and he could not stay in front of Mekhi Mason. Mekhi Mason got anything and everything that he wanted. You know, he was only 2 for 8 from three-pointers, but he hit 8 out of 8 of his two-point shots, and just an incredible array of bank shots, off-balance jumpers. Really, really good in the mid-range tonight. He was 7 for 9 from the free-throw line. Had 4 rebounds. He did turn the ball over 5 times, but a lot of those turnovers were turnovers that teammates put him in some pretty bad positions, that he just ended up fumbling the ball after some errant passes, I thought. But overall, just a terrific win. You know, they can clean the turnovers up. They didn't shoot the ball from three-point range that well. They were 8 for 27. They started hot. Devontae Bandu was really good, 3 for 6. Jared Butler was 2 for 4. And, you know, Mario Kegler hit 1. King missed all 3 of his three-point attempts. But ultimately, it didn't matter because they were able to score at the rim, score in the paint, and they hit 68% of their shots from two-point range. And you compare that with only 44% for West Virginia. And West Virginia was only 4 for 17 from the three-point line. So just a terrific, gritty win. I mean, that I think, you know, West Virginia is not a good team this year, but, you know, they did just come off beating a top 10 team on their home court. So they came in, you know, with some confidence. And, you know, for they just ugly up the game. That, you know, even though it was a dead environment, I know the weather was pretty bad, a 9 o'clock tip. So the crowd was not a typical West Virginia crowd. But still, one of the toughest places to get a road win. You know, Bob Huggins is a Hall of Fame coach. And anytime you can go in and beat Bob Huggins, I think it's a great win.
Yeah, and especially when you beat West Virginia and, you know, they got 37 points combined by two bench players. I know Bolden is a really good player, so you expected him to play well, but Knapper is not a very good player, not a guy that has been dominating by any means. He had 15 points, and Bolden had 22 points. So 37 points from those two guys off the bench, and yet Baylor was still able to win this game on the road. And that's a big stat line right there. When you can win a game like this against a team that struggles to score but was able to get, you know, half their points from two bench players, that's a good sign for Baylor. And I think you hit the nail on the head. West Virginia is not a good team, but I can bet you right now West Virginia is going to sneak up and bite some teams in Morgantown this year like they did to Kansas. And so Baylor was able to avoid that and get themselves into first place in the Big 12. I know Kansas is one game in the win column ahead, but Baylor is right there, tied in the loss column and showing signs of just improvement game by game. And seeing Bandu tonight play well was great to see. He kind of made up for the fact that Jared Butler didn't have a great game and that King McClure didn't have a great game, but Bandu and Kegler both played very, very well, and that was able to kind of overshadow some of maybe the not best performances on Baylor's team. But those two guys played a big role tonight and, you know, helped with Mekhi Mason scoring as well as he did. But those two guys kind of supplemented the scoring and allowed Baylor to hang 85 points on West Virginia on the road, which is a pretty big number against anyone, and especially on the road in an environment like that. That was great to see that Baylor was able to shoot that well and put up those kind of points in an environment like that. It just goes back to, you know, showing the kind of ease that they were able to play with for most of the night.
Yeah, and if you would have told me going into the game that, you know, West Virginia has a really promising young big man, Derek Culver, who's been playing well. Lamont West is a 6'8 guard. Jermaine Haley's a 6'7 point guard. Issa Ahmad is a player that's given us fits in the past. And then you've got Andrew Gordon, their starting center, is a big body inside. You know, that was my biggest concern, is that we were going to get into foul trouble, which we did. You know, Mark Vidal racked up four fouls quickly. And then you had, you know, Flo Famba and Freddie Gillespie get into foul trouble as well. But those guys battled, and Kegler, you know, they battled so hard on the glass. Baylor ends up out-rebounding West Virginia 45-35. And Derek Culver, who West Virginia fans think is their next great big, he was 1-for-8 from the field, 1-for-4 from the free throw line, and pretty much a non-factor. You know, Andrew Gordon scores 2 points. Issa Ahmad only has 9 points. You know, so Baylor did a tremendous job on their front line and really just did not allow much activity in the paint. You know, a lot of West Virginia's scoring came at the free throw line with Bolden going 10-for-10. You know, that was really what kept the game closer than it should have been early on.
Yeah, I would say that West Virginia, you know, a few of their guys making free throws, yeah, that was a big deal. It was also Baylor not making free throws on the other end that was a big reason why West Virginia was in the game. Baylor ends up 19-for-21, but they started off absolutely terrible from the free throw line. And so they were able to get that corrected later in the game. But, yeah, this game really shouldn't have even been that close. To be honest, if Baylor had just made their free throws, it would have been a lot different. But as far as Culver goes for West Virginia, he's a good player, but I think you and I both know their big man of the future is probably going to be on campus next year, a guy that they were able to win the recruiting battle over Baylor for Oscar. I think they just need to wait a year because he's probably going to be their next great big, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, he's terrific and a good kid, a kid that should have been a Baylor Bear, but we'll hopefully, you know, we'll get the player that is destined to be a Bear soon, in Omar Ballo, let's hope so. You know, but, I mean, it's definitely, you know, a team that just continues to show a lot of competitive grit. You could tell their legs were tired at the end of that, you know, in that second half, and we were playing with a lot of fatigue, which is to be expected coming off an emotional win on Saturday against the number one defensive team in the nation, and then going to West Virginia to face that style of play. You know, it's exhausting, and they just showed a lot of grit. And, you know, credit especially Kegler. You know, Kegler came up huge in that second half and really helped us keep the separation that was needed.
Yeah, and I felt like he actually had, in my opinion, the play of the game, to be honest. I can't remember the exact exchange, but West Virginia came down, and I actually believe they hit a three and cut the lead to eight. And Baylor turned right around and threw a long pass to Kegler.
Right.
And he went flying down the floor, and he got the and one to push the lead back to double digits. And that right there, I think, was probably the play of the game. That was – West Virginia had all the momentum. They were forcing turnovers. They were getting up and down. They were hitting shots. And then Kegler got to the rim, got that and one, and it felt like Baylor was kind of able to take a breath for a little bit. And they went through the next 3 or 4 minutes and were able to kind of keep the lead, keep playing well, just to kind of hold on in some regard. So I felt like that was a huge play. And, yeah, Kegler had a great game. He really did. But kind of just like everyone else on the team, it felt like, and this isn't something we've seen from Baylor all year, but guys were having a real problem catching the basketball. It was weird tonight. And you had talked about this earlier about how good they have been at catching the football. But, my goodness, it felt like they dropped, I don't know, 3 or 4 layup chances, dropped a couple rebounds.
Right.
Dropped some passes that led to turnovers. It was really weird. Didn't you think so?
No question about it. You know, Vital dropped a clear dunk on a really good pass from Makai Mason. Flo Thamba, you know, had some pretty shaky hands at times. You know, but once again, you know, these guys are hustling. They're working hard. They're playing their, you know, their guts out. You just got to give them all the praise and credit. And you know, even Matthew Meyer, there was some criticism of him on the message board, but I thought he gave us 13 really good minutes in the first half. He took good shots within the offense. He worked hard on defense. He got a couple rebounds. He had an assist. You know, everybody contributed to this win. Darius Allen got in the game. He had a steal. You know, so just a terrific team win from, you know, all 11 guys that needed to play tonight to get this victory, or 10 guys, I should say. So
great by Baylor doing that. They really grinded out that win.
Yeah, no doubt. Next up for Baylor is Alabama. On Saturday, as part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge, that's an 11 o'clock tip. Boy, if you're a Baylor fan and you're in Waco, or you're in Dallas-Fort Worth, or you're in Austin, you got to reward this team. We need a full house for that game. We need Baylor fans rowdy. We need to get a signature win over an SEC team and start getting on the right side of that SEC Challenge. You know, Scott Drew typically owns SEC opponents. Had a setback last year against Florida, but it's time to start, you know, getting back on that winning streak with a big win against Alabama. And I'm sure Jared Butler is going to be geared up to play in that game. And, you know, obviously initially signing with Alabama and then leaving Alabama this summer to come to Baylor when they signed Kira Lewis, the 5-star point guard. So it's going to be a good matchup and one that hopefully Baylor can take care of business and protect their home court.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, I think. Alabama, it seems like, has played up to their competition and then played down to their competition a whole lot this year. And they've been in a lot of close games. So I think this is going to be another really close one. But I think Baylor's got a great opportunity here to get another win and get to 13-6. And my goodness, then you start looking and thinking they're one of the hottest teams in the country if they're able to win on Saturday. And that's a big game. And it absolutely is. It's one for tournament hopes. And, if you're a Baylor fan, definitely get there and support this team because they're playing extremely hard, and they're going to make it really tough on the NCAA tournament committee if they keep playing like this.
Oh, yeah. No, if they win Saturday, I would say they're probably on the right side of the bubble, at least, you know, after Saturday. Still a lot of basketball to play. I think they'll need six more Big 12 wins to feel secure. I think 10 would definitely get them in the NCAA tournament. You know, and maybe that comes 5-9-9, and then a win in postseason. But hey, let's not limit this team. They're in the hunt for a conference championship, and you know who says that can't happen? You know, they're playing well enough right now that if they continue to improve, if we can get Mario Kegler going, there's no reason they can't set their goals much higher than just making the NCAA tournament.
Oh, I agree. They're in a great spot right now, and as the Big 12 keeps getting murkier and murkier, they're going to be right there, it seems like, at least if they keep playing like this. And so that's the hope, that they just keep playing hard and keep giving themselves a chance. And you know how that is in the Big 12. If you play hard and give yourself a chance, you're going to be in a lot of games. And if you just get lucky and come out on the right side, I mean, Baylor could be right in the hunt come the, you know, Big 12 tournament time. And so, yeah, it's encouraging to see this team taking steps in the right direction. And I would say it's not even just encouraging for this year. It's just even more encouraging as, you know, for next year and the years after. You can just tell that there's something, you know, cooking with this team. And there's some really good talent on this roster that's starting to grow up.
Right.
And I think that's really cool to see. Just a lot of young talent growing. And I gotta tell you, you know, the more I get to see Flo Thamba play, the more I think, you know, you give this guy a few more years of development, he's going to be really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a lot of upside, and he continues to show it. There's some things he's got to get better at, but he runs the floor really, really well, which is something I really noticed tonight. I'm not sure if you saw that or if you've seen that in the past, but
absolutely,
he looks like a gazelle at times when he runs the floor.
Yeah, and he works really hard on the glass. He works hard in the weight room. He works hard in practice. I mean, he's exactly the type of big that you're going to look up as a junior and say, where did Baylor get this guy with a 7'5" wingspan that's blocking four shots a game? Yeah, there's no question about it. He's got a bright future. And Mark Vidal, I love the game that Mark Vidal played. I really thought probably all four of those fouls were pretty ticky-tack, but at least three of them were ticky-tack. He's got a reputation to uphold. And so he gets a lot of calls that are questionable on him. But listen, he had four rebounds. He had three assists. He had two steals. He had 2 for 2 from the free throw line. And those were really big free throws to keep the separation of the lead. He played a terrific game. And I love that he's getting offensive rebounds and looking for three-point shooters. Several of our early threes came from that, where he got an offensive rebound and he kicked out to a three-point shooter, and we were able to bury that shot. So he's such a valuable weapon, and it, you know, if he can just stay out of foul trouble and make some layups and start making some free throws, he could just be even more potent than he is right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. He's just one of those guys that plays so hard that it's hard to not notice him. You know, he just plays with a just reckless abandon, goes after every single rebound. I mean, dude is just flying in half the time looking for a rebound, and that's great to see. And he's extremely valuable to this team. And, yeah, you're exactly right. His ability to keep possessions alive, and it's kind of what we talked about earlier this year, and Kegler does a great job of it too. They get their hands on a lot of rebounds. Even if that means they don't grab the rebound,
right,
they tip it or they're deflected to a teammate or be disruptive on the glass. And that leads to really good things. And so even if he doesn't grab the rebound, he's impacting the play. Maybe, I think a couple times in this game, he went for a rebound and it hit off a West Virginia player and Baylor got the ball. And that's just as good as a rebound. And so, you know, they both do a lot of really good things on the glass. And that activity by Vidal is, like you said, very important, and it's really becoming infectious to everyone. They're all starting to do it. Everyone's starting to continue to play really, really hard, and when you have a team full of guys that are playing hard, good things happen.
No doubt. Baylor moves up to 43rd in KenPom ratings, continue to climb up the charts there. 58th offensive efficiency, 38th defensive efficiency, the number five offensive rebounding team in the country. Almost 38% of misses, you know, Baylor is able to get an offensive rebound, which is just mind-boggling, and you know, in large part because of Mark Vidal. But they are, you know, just a team that, you know, wears you out. And, you know, I mentioned this against the Texas Tech, the Texas Tech game Saturday, that there was a period there where Texas Tech almost looked like they wanted to tap out after a couple of offensive rebounds. Nothing destroys the will of a team like having to defend for 30 seconds and then having a player get an offensive rebound, having to defend for another 30 seconds, and then getting another offensive rebound. I mean, there's really nothing that deflates a team like that. So that's something that Baylor's always been good at, and, you know, certainly continue to be one of the best in the country at getting offensive rebounds.
Yeah, there was a stretch where West Virginia's will was broken. When I don't remember exactly the possession, but there were probably maybe two or three that I noticed where Baylor got, like, three offensive rebounds, it felt like, and kept throwing it out to three-point shooters, and guys didn't happen to make it on the possession I'm thinking of, but my goodness, I mean, it just felt like the ball was just gravitating towards Baylor players. It was really a fun possession. I don't know if you remember it, but I think Makai shot a Bandu shot a yep. three, Butler shot a three, and Baylor got rebounds on all of them. It was
right.
That was just a possession that comes to mind where I think West Virginia was just like, wow, we're not getting a single rebound the rest of this game.
Right. Yeah, if they go back to shooting three-pointers like they had before conference play started, they'd probably get a lot more offensive rebounds. But, you know, they're making shots now, so there's less opportunities to get those rebounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a good thing, obviously. Yeah. I'm being facetious. Well, hey, listen, I know it's late here, and we're going to get this podcast up, and we'll have, you know, some thoughts on the message boards from Tweety Carter, Larry Gatewood, Fred Ellis after these two great wins. What a terrific start to conference play. Baylor's 4-2. They're 12-6 on the season. And, you know, from the feeling of complete deflation that we all felt when we heard the news that Tristan Clark was injured to this feeling of complete elation, you know, just a few days later, you know, Baylor's just really turned the season around and, you know, looking like the best is yet to come. If they continue to play like this, there's some good things in store for these Bears. So you've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge and Grayson Grunhafer, and we will check in with you after the Alabama game on Saturday. Sikkim Bears.